Integrating mindfulness into daily life. A basic skill in Vipassana meditation is to acquire the ability to give full and sustained attention or mindfulness to what we are doing as you are doing it. Yet we rarely, if ever, give anything our full attention. At best, it is just partial attention. The consequence of this faulty intelligence, that is, not being in touch with reality or having false views, if one does not have the right information, one can misread the experience. So one lives in delusion and as a consequence suffers. The writer Iris Murdoch wrote, "We live in a fantasy world, a world of illusion. The great task in life is to find reality. Regrettably, for the most part, we live in a shallow, superficial culture that lacks any real depth. Almost everything is geared to allow us to give only partial attention towards what is in front of us. The dominant software company of the world, Microsoft, has coined a phrase for the way we take in the world around us: continuous partial attention. Their products are all geared to be usable under such circumstances. Three or more task windows are opened on my computer screen at any time. So we skip from one to the other, just skimming and scanning, which is symptomatic of the rather shallow life the majority of us tend to lead. The task then is to turn us around and train oneself to be fully attentive as much as possible. This presence of mind with clear knowing undercovers reality and will in time bring healing and transformation. It is critical then to develop the capacity for sustained and close attentiveness in all one's movements and activities, down to the minutest detail throughout the day. Such a dynamic practice of close attentiveness with clear knowing or clear comprehension is the key to deepening one's mindfulness, as it intensifies or magnifies the practice to expose the reality of one's own physical and mental phenomena as constantly changing, unsatisfactory, and just impersonal processes. But we cannot pretend that this is easy, as having continuous, close attentiveness goes somewhat against the grain. It is not really natural to us. The Buddha once described the practice of the Dharma as going against the stream. As long as one swims with the current of the river, one remains largely unaware of it. But if one chooses to turn against it, suddenly it is revealed as a powerful, discomforting force. Just prior to the Buddha's enlightenment at Buddh Gaya, as the Buddha was washing his alms bowl in the nearby Naranjara River, he lost hold of it and the bowl floated off, going against the current. It is said that he took that as a sign that he would be successful in his aspiration to gain enlightenment. But I do not think we need to take this story so literally, as I see it as more of a metaphor of going against the stream that points to the need to consciously face and explore one's own conditioning and assumptions in order to grow in the Dharma. The stream refers to the accumulated habit of conditionings. The practice of the Dharma requires us to turn around midstream, to observe mindfully and intelligently the forces of conditioning instead of reacting to their promptings. Therefore, we need to make constant effort to train ourselves to do this practice until it has become so well established that it has become, as it were, our second nature, that is, ingrained. Only then will deeper states of mindfulness develop. But as a beginner, it needs to be accepted by the meditator that in the practice of Vipassana meditation, going against the stream creates waves, causes disturbances, which require courage and skill to deal with these difficulties skillfully until eventually the maturity factor of equanimity develops. It's very informative to read the instructions the Buddha himself gave in Mindfulness of the Body in the subsection on clearly knowing in the text we are following, the Four Establishments of Mindfulness. Quote, "And again, monks, a monk, while going forward or while going back, he does so with clear knowing. While going straight ahead or while looking elsewhere, he does so with clear knowing. While bending or stretching his limbs, he does so with clear knowing. While carrying the alms bowl and while wearing the robe, he does so with clear knowing. While eating, drinking, chewing, and savouring, he does so with clear knowing. While urinating or defecating, he does so with clear knowing. While walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking, speaking, or when remaining silent, he does so with clear knowing or full attentiveness. You can see here that the Buddha is emphasizing the continuity of attentiveness or mindfulness of all daily activities, with clear knowing of all body movements in great detail, including what you do in the bathroom. Nothing is too trivial that it is left out. This is the most important set of instructions and the most demanding to do in the practice of intensive Vipassana meditation. Yet a lot of meditators often find resistance in the mind to being purposely attentive to daily activities and movements. To overcome this disinclination to be attentive, one must persistently train oneself until some positive feedback is experienced. This will arise from the fluency of the practice and give you the confidence to keep going with the practice. From the Buddha's time down to the present, there have been teachers who have suggested practices and strategies that support the attentiveness practice. One of the most prominent of these was the late Mahasi Sayadaw of Myanmar, who recommended and taught a very effective mental naming or noting technique in his book, Practical Exercises in Vipassana Meditation. Quote, "When making bodily movements, the meditator should do so slowly, gently moving the arms and legs, bending or stretching them, lowering the head and raising it up. When rising from the sitting posture, one should do so gradually, noting as rising. When straightening up and standing, note as standing. When looking here and there, note as seeing. When walking, note the steps, whether they are taken with the right or the left foot. You must be aware of all successive movements involved, from the rising of the foot to the dropping of it. When one wakes up in the morning, one should immediately resume noting. The meditator who is really intent on attaining the path and its fruition should rest from meditation only when asleep. At other times, in all wakened moments, one should be noting continually the successive body-mind phenomena without let-up. That is why, as soon as one awakens, one should note the awakening state of mind as awakening. If one cannot yet be aware of this, one should begin with noting the rise and fall of the abdomen. As one goes on noting in this way, one will be able to note more and more of these events. In the beginning, as the mind wanders here and there, one may miss many things, but one should not be disheartened. Every beginner encounters the same difficulty, but as one becomes more skilled, one becomes aware of every act of mind wandering until eventually the mind does not wander at all. The mind is then riveted onto the object of its attention. The act of mindfulness becomes almost simultaneous with the object of its attention. In other words, the rising of the abdomen becomes concurrent with the act of noting it, and similarly with the falling of the abdomen and all other activities." Unquote. It is important to give the mind, not to give any mind, any chance to slip into its old habitual ways. We are creatures of habit, often operating on autopilot a lot of the time, making many unconscious movements and actions. In a retreat situation, there is no need to hurry, and in fact, one is encouraged to slow down. Hurrying is an indicator that you have slipped into automatic pilot. So turn off the autopilot and use the manual controls by consciously and deliberately noting all your actions throughout the day. Effort has to be made in this practice, but the effort you make is to be in the moment, while being intimate with and fully attentive to whatever you are doing as you are doing it. The beginner is advised to start by keeping a thread of awareness on a particular action throughout the day. For example, naming the walking movement as walking, walking without a break. When the mind moves from the noting of the walking to a secondary object, such as thinking, seeing, hearing, and a mind state, then note the object that has taken your attention as a secondary object before going back to the noting of walking. Then combine the noting of the walking with a noting of sitting, standing, and lying down, being especially attentive to the transition between each posture. Take at least one activity during the day, such as eating, and taking your time, try to do it 100%, finding the minutest detail. When you are eating, all the senses are activated, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. So try and note all the physical movements as well as the biting, chewing, tasting, savouring, and swallowing. This detailed noting is dynamic and intensifies the momentary concentration that results in a more in-depth experience. As you can see, the practice of clearly knowing is not a superficial, casual observation, as one must deeply penetrate the object under observation. Presence is combined with clear comprehension. That is, one must see the specific characteristics of the phenomena, the subtle and fine nuances, the minutest detail of the movement, without identifying with it. Close and sustained attention is the key to the practice. Maintaining close attentiveness for, say, 75% of daily activities for at least 3 to 4 hours in a day will be carried over to and increase the fluency of the practice in the formal sitting and walking sessions. The benefit of this precise and detailed noting is that it will increase and intensify the momentary concentration that is needed to deeper insight into the mind-body phenomena. For meditators whose practice of full attentiveness has matured, they would be able to note or know nearly all their movements and actions, whatever is predominant in their experience, including the specific characteristics of the movement for most, if not all, of the day. Then they will discover that what appears to be one continuous movement is actually a series of individual discontinuous movements. Such an insight exposes the illusion of continuity. While this practice is not a slow motion exercise per se, it cannot be emphasized enough that the Vipassana meditator must slow down all body movements as much as possible in order to be aware of the subtleties of the movement. A benefit that is not much appreciated from attentiveness training is that with presence of mind, the mind becomes wholesome, and so mindfulness intensifies and insights will follow. Therefore, clarity and pleasant feelings will arise as you are freed from anxiety and worry and experience the blessing of being in the present moment. Having established the practice of full attention with clearly knowing in the supportive condition of a retreat environment, this ability gives you the potential to integrate the mindfulness training into everyday life when you return home. The benefits of an ongoing practice of mindfulness in daily life are that it brings about an increase in well-being for oneself and harmonious relationships with others. To quote what the Buddha said on the subject, mindfulness is useful everywhere.